Blog Talk Radio.
When I find myself in times of trouble, Mother Mary comes to me, speaking words of wisdom, let it be. And in my hour of darkness, she is standing right in front of me, speaking words of wisdom, let it be.
Dragon and his angels fought back. But he was not strong enough, and they lost their place in heaven. The great dragon was hurled down, that ancient serpent called the devil or Satan, who leads the whole world astray. He was hurled to the earth, and his angels with him. Then I heard a loud voice in heaven say, Now have come the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ. But the accuser of our brothers, who accuses them before our God day and night, has been hurled down. Then the dragon was enraged at the woman and went off to make war against the rest of her offspring, those who obey God's commandments and hold to the testimony of Jesus.
And when the night is cloudy, there is still a light that shines on me. Wake up to the sound of music. Mother Mary comes to me, singing words of wisdom. Let it be.
Good evening and welcome to a special edition of the Catholic Defender radio show. Tonight, with your host Don Hartley, the Catholic Defender, we will examine in depth the truths of our faith and why we believe them. Tonight, Don Hartley's guest host is John Carpenter, an expert on a number of apparitions of our Blessed Mother. Tonight, John will lead us in an in-depth examination of one of these apparitions. Here now is John Carpenter. who will tell us which of Our Lady's apparitions we will examine tonight.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Journey with Mary. Every week we do Journey with Mary to some place that she has made an appearance somewhere in the world over the last 2,000 years. Now you might think, oh, she came, what, 10, 12 times? I mean, most Catholics can maybe name 4, 5, maybe 6 locations that they know of. Well, according to the International Marian Research Institute in Dayton, Ohio, we are closing in on 2,700 appearances documented over the last 2,000 years. So she's been busy. Now, we didn't ask for this. We didn't seek it, but it happened because she in heaven decided to make contact with us for a variety of reasons, to inspire us, to teach us, to get us back on track, to warn us, to make predictions, to help us, all sorts of things. And so with each story, we try to understand why then, why there, and what was going on and what we can learn from it. Now, I work as a psychiatric therapist, and I've seen just about everything you can imagine. But when I heard about Marian visionaries, that was something new. And the more I looked into it, I realized, there's nothing wrong with these people. They're sane, they're normal, and they're having a normal reaction to something very supernatural in their world. And if you don't believe me, all the other professionals who've investigated have said the same thing. Scientists have found amazing results. There's many things we could talk about. So with each story, we look at any science or investigation that has happened as well to bring you those results, if there were any to report. But you have to remember, this is spread over 2,000 years and the entire world, so there's no telling what country we're talking about, what the culture was like, what the leadership was like, what the politics were like, and what kind of investigation, if any, occurred. So it's quite a variety of things, but what we have learned and what any of you who followed us for a while have seen is that there is a very distinct and repeating specific pattern of details, no matter what century, what decade, what country, what part of the world, what culture she appeared in, the details are amazingly similar and alike. You couldn't get that with imagination or hoaxes or people just wanting things to happen. It would never be so specific and so detailed and repeating like it does. So that's a indication of a reality. When you have details converging into a distinct pattern, no matter what time of the 2,000 years or location around the world, that's pretty impressive. You couldn't get a similar story around the world anywhere today if you tried. Nobody would tell the same story right all around the world. So this piqued our interest, and we are dedicated to bringing you the best information from the best stories and the ones who are most documented. Unfortunately, a lot of them were not well documented, so we stick to the 100, and that doesn't sound like many of 2,000, but compared to what most people know about, 100's a lot. So we cover that in as much detail. And before we get to our story tonight, well, we'll check in with our team. But first of all, I'll just let you know we're continuing with Fatima, Portugal, the most well-known apparition of all. However, in telling the full story of Fatima, many of you are learning there's a lot of details you didn't know about. And we've got even more tonight that most people have not ever known about in part 3 of this full story. We'll get back to that in a moment. But first of all, we'll check in with my co-host, Mr. Donald Hartley. How are you doing tonight, Donald?
Well, I have to tell you, I've been feeling the, you know, what we call Kentucky crud. That's kind of what I've been going through all day in the last 2 or 3 days. And so I've been going through this Kentucky crud. But I've, just like Hogan, you know, doing the rope-a-dope. So I'm coming back, man. the power of Hulkamania just prevailing, going left and right. You know what I'm saying? I'm coming back, man. Can't keep me down.
Sounds
Can't
like,
keep me down.
Sounds like you're somewhere other than Kentucky.
Well, Kentucky crud just goes all over the place.
Okay. Well, glad that you're with us tonight. And
oh, God bless
speaking
you.
Of
Thank
Kentucky,
you.
Speaking of Kentucky, nearby in Tennessee, we have Doc. How are you, Doc?
Hey, Doc.
I think it's called the Tennessee crud because I got it too. But
holy
you
cow.
Know something? Yeah, but here's the thing about it. It's passing. It's fleeting. It'll come. You'll feel you're miserable, whatever. And then you know what? It's gone. It's gone. So don't sweat it. Don't sweat the small stuff. I actually was sitting here with the blues for a minute, and then I got to thinking, you know, I'm going to come on this show, and I get to do this show with these amazing people. And you know what? I ain't got the blues no more. This show is amazing. And what it does for me, you know, I don't know. I mean, I've actually had a couple people that listened to the show, and they knew me. So, you know, and they told me, you know, I've heard that it's inspired them, what some of the things I've said, which I thought was cool. But, you know, I mean,
yeah,
I
really
get out of so much more than I could possibly put in. I could never put in as much as I get out of this show. So, yeah.
Thank you. That's
so
great.
We're going to rock. That's all there is to it.
That's great. That's great. And that's why we do this show, because it does put out information that very few people know about. Hardly anyone has heard of most of the stories. And here, even with Fatima, we're going over details that nobody has heard or realized, even though they think they know all about Fatima. Sorry, there's a lot more that we are talking about. If we might even go to part four. I mean, there's so much, and here we are already up to the end of October 13th, which everyone assumes is the end of the story last week. And no, not at all. We'll get
no,
back to that
just,
in a minute.
It's just the beginning. It's just the beginning,
yeah.
John.
That's right. That's right. So, anyway, before we get going, anything else from either of you two guys? Any other announcements or comments?
Well, it was October 13th, 2006, in Baghdad. And I had just got back from my leave, back from the United States. In time, I was at Camp JSS Ur, where it was October the 13th, 2006, and I was showing the movie, The Miracle of Our Lady of Fatima. And out in the plaza, I had people from Egypt. I had people from Pakistan there. I had people from Iraq out there. And I had people from Uganda and all over the Middle East. And it was a wonderful experience. It really was. And, you know, because people, I mean, the Iraqis, they got out in front of their establishments and sat in their chairs out there in front of the plaza and watched the movie, The Miracle of Our Lady of Fatima, on October the 13th. And they saw the movie.
What was their reaction?
The movie, The Miracle of Our Lady of Fatima.
And how did they react to it?
Oh, people came. I mean, we filled the plaza with people. We filled it with all kinds of, with people from all over the world, from the Philippines. Yes, it had a wide range effect, too. A lot of the Muslims that were there from Muslim countries identified Our Lady of Fatima. And so.
That's great.
I think. It was. And so that happened on October the 13th. And I'm so thankful that we were able to do that.
Oh, that's an awesome story. I always love hearing about that. Love to have been there to have seen all those people watching and learning and appreciating, hopefully spiritually moved by it.
And seeing it in action.
Yes. And to recap for our listeners, part one that we dealt with, so we told about the angel that came about three or four times the year before in 1916 and kind of indoctrinated the children into spiritual stuff in terms of supernatural things happening, learning about prayers and fasting, sacrifice, and especially prayers, getting them prepared to meet the Virgin Mary the following May of the next year. And when she came on May 13th, and she asked for them to come back on the 13th of every month. And so they did so in June, and yeah, they had several thousand people for that. And then by July, they had like, you know, 30,000 people, and it just went up from there. But in July, they were given the vision of hell, which was the first secret, was the vision of hell. And then in August, they were abducted by the city administrator and threatened because he wanted to know all the secrets that they were being given. And he threatened to kill them. And they said, okay, we'll go to heaven early. Great. Go ahead. And meanwhile, they got the whole jail dancing and singing and praying, and all the old drunks and prisoners were having a blast with these impressive children. And so he turned them loose. But she went ahead and met them on the 19th instead. And the people who were waiting, the, 18,000 people or whatever that were waiting for that apparition in August, were treated to a whole bunch of supernatural things, from cannon shots from the bush where she stood to glowing balls of light to streaming colored lights to visions in the sky to all sorts of flashes of light. And then when they got a little scared and tried to run away, this magnetic force pulled them all back to the bush again where she was to have been standing. So they made sure everybody got a supernatural treat when the children didn't show up. And most people don't realize all that happened. And they even had like feathery flakes falling from the sky that melted before they hit the ground. And we're not, this was August.
Yeah.
And then, of course, in September, she also talked about Russia being a problem and that that needed to be taken care of, or else the Russia was going to cause more problems for the world in the future if they did not convert. And then she promised a miracle in October. October 13th came, and a crowd of up to almost 100,000 showed up, but half of them were skeptics, doubters, government officials, you know, atheists, news reporters, because they wanted to be the first ones to laugh when nothing weird happened or nothing supernatural. Well, they were all silenced and surprised when the rain stopped, the clouds parted, and right on time, the sun came out at noon with the children in visionary trance, and Our Lady had the sun dance. Actually, Jesus took care of that, but at her prediction, the sun danced in the sky, spun around, shot off all sorts of colors, and was so dim you could stare at it like you would the moon, perhaps, without hurting your eyes. And then it seemed to hurl itself toward the earth, scaring everyone to death. They're on their knees praying, confessing, figuring this was it. They were all going to die. And then it swerved and came back up. And all this happened in about 15 minutes. And in that time, all the rain-drenched clothing and mud puddles and mud and everything around dried in that 15 minutes. Scientists said it would take a 2-megaton nuclear blast to have created that kind of heat and dried everything within 15 minutes. I will just add, the sun is made of nuclear energy, and that's all I'm going to say about that. So all of that,
John,
happened in the last 2 weeks. Yes.
Oh, that's amazing. I just got a prayer request just sent in to me, and it says prayer request. All I ask for is prayers. My name is John and Bridget Mongan. We are 22 years married and don't have any children. Can you please pray for us? From Ireland.
Nice.
And so it's just a prayer request coming from Ireland. And we pray
we
for their holy marriage for John.
And Bridget? All right.
Yes.
For John and Bridget.
John and Bridget.
Everyone, welcome to Deeper
Truth. Your prayers.
Welcome to Deeper Truth. And yes.
Don, would you like to say a prayer? Would you like to say a prayer, Don?
My God, I believe, I adore, I hope, and I love you. And I ask pardon of you for those who do not believe, do not adore, do not hope, nor do not love you. And John, that prayer, you should recognize that prayer from coming from the angel of Portugal.
That's right. All right, so everyone pray for John and Bridget in Ireland. And they know what their troubles are, and they know what they need. And you say prayers, we're sending spiritual energy up to heaven, all of us, in hopes that they will be healed from their concerns and their issues. And the power of the world and the world's prayers can help them heal and be resolved of their issues. All right.
Amen.
I think they're looking for children. And I want to put out that there are millions of kids out there that need a good Christian home. If you are not blessed with having biological children, there are children in need all over the world. And my prayer is that you find that one of those souls find you. And you find one of those souls. And you'll know it when you know it.
It shall happen. It shall happen.
That is your family.
It shall happen. I adopted two Korean girls from South Korea in the 1980s.
Wow. Now, this I did not know.
Well, I'm a man of many interests. What say?
What are they doing? How
they
turn out? What are they doing?
Oh, they turn out great. One's a nurse and the other's an astrophysicist. I think they turned out great.
Wow.
Nice.
Wow, that's amazing.
Nice. That's commendable.
Yes. And
yeah, it is.
They were 3 months and 4 months old, several years apart, not related, but of course now they are. And four grandchildren from that. So,
wow.
Yep. Shout out to
Texas. Do they like Korean food?
Well, you know, it's funny you say that because people ask them that. And here, they're 3 months old when they show up. So what kind of food do you think they've known? Milk.
Cheese ramen.
Baby
cheese ramen. Cheese ramen. When I was in Korea, that was one of my favorite things I'd get from Ajumma. What I'd get from Ajumma was
no kimchi.
Cheese ramen.
No kimchi, no Korean barbecue, nothing at 3 and 4 months old. So when people ask them that, they just say, we like McDonald's.
They survive.
I tell you.
They're definitely American now. They're definitely American now, that's for sure.
Oh, yeah. They know nothing else.
They live, that's amazing.
I do have a funny story when my – let me say this. I have a funny story when my first daughter was on a school bus, kindergarten, and she's going to school, and this boy looks at her and squints his eyes and goes, oh, you're Chinese. And you know what my daughter said? No, stupid, I'm Korean.
Wow.
I love it.
Well, John, I've got a daughter-in-law that's Filipino. That's Philippine. I got a daughter-in-law, and I got a granddaughter that's half American and half Philippine. And, I mean, she is so beautiful. Oh, gosh.
Oh, yeah. Yes, they're beautiful.
Charlotte. And so I'm going to say hey to Charlotte out there. And Rose. Rose is our grand, she's our daughter-in-law. Matt is our son and Gigi's son. And Rose is his wife. And it's Charlotte or Scarlett. I keep getting that mixed. Scarlett. I better get that right on the air here. But she is so beautiful. She is so beautiful.
All right, now. So we're going to head to Fatima, and we're going to continue our story. October 13th has just ended, and the next day all the newspapers were saying, oh, the sun really danced at Fatima. No skeptics, no debates, no arguments, nothing negative came after that. It was so astounding and unbelievable. And people in 650 square miles saw it from all around. So it was not an illusion or imagination. It was something very real that happened, dried up the ground and convinced all the skeptics there was something to this. So after a long study and careful interrogation of many witnesses, the Bishop of Lira made the following proclamation, quote, the children long before set the day and hour at which this was to take place. The news spread quickly over the whole of Portugal, and although the day was chilly and pouring rain, many thousands of people gathered. They saw the different manifestations of the sun, paying homage to the Queen of Heaven and Earth, who is more radiant than the sun in all its splendor. This phenomenon, which no astronomical observatory registered, was not natural. It was seen by people of all classes, members of the church and non-Catholics. It was seen by reporters of the principal newspapers and by people many miles away. So the bishop is saying, folks, this was a real event. After the last apparition on October 13th, the three children tried to return to their ordinary routine life. But the general public continued to seek them out and ask a thousand questions. Francisco and Jacinta's parents sold their flocks of sheep and kept the children close to home, so that they would be more available to speak with inquisitive visitors. The two children would often escape whenever possible, often hiding in the rock area where the angel first met with them. Lucia would join them there when possible, as she was still shepherding her family's sheep. Together, they would recite the rosary and reminisce about the many things Our Lady had shared with them. They continued to keep the secrets that Mary had given them to themselves, although Mary's mention of the, quote, conversion of Russia was confusing. Lucia thought Russia might be the name of a wicked woman. She didn't know Russia was a country. Francisco knew that he would be taken to heaven relatively soon, so school studies seemed pointless. That's interesting. Praying the rosary became his primary activity. He told people, quote, I liked to see the angel so much, but I liked Our Lady much more. What I liked best about the apparitions was seeing our Lord in that light that the Blessed Virgin put into our hearts. I love God very much. He is so sad because of so many sins. We must not commit even the smallest sin.
Mm.
Often while the girls played among the rocks, Francisco would go off by himself and pray alone. One day the girls heard him shouting in distress, so uncharacteristic of his nature. The cries were electric with fear and shocked the girls. They came upon him trembling with fright and unable to rise from his knees. His voice shaking, he told them, quote, it was one of those huge beasts that we saw in hell. He was right there breathing out flames. The girls encouraged him not ever to think again about what they had seen in hell. I'm going to stop right there. Isn't that amazing? That one of those awful beasts from hell, Francisco, saw right in front of him, for real.
Well, you know, I've said this before, that demons are here. They're, you know, a lot of people think demons are just stories that we tell children to keep, to make them be good, but there is a actual battle going on around you right now. Swords are clashing. Beings are being wiped out of existence. This is a real war, and it's going on all around you. There are demons walking the earth. They get into our heads and make us think we're worthless. They make us think we can't accomplish. Oh my God, all this stuff I have to do, I'm overwhelmed, I can't do it. That's their job. And we have angels out there that are beating these guys down and wiping them out, making you hear in your head that all that other stuff is poppycock. And I'm not going to let my adversities control me. I'm going to turn them into my strengths. And I'm going to get everything done that I want to get done. So, him seeing it, him of all people, I would expect to be able to see these demons. And that demon probably realized, crap, this guy can see me. I'm out of here. You know what I'm saying?
Well,
went out there. He ain't gonna be able to say, "Oh yeah, he can see me." Off he goes. So I believe that. I believe that wholeheartedly because it makes sense. There's a spiritual war, and our prayers strengthen our angels. We have to give them a prayer force. Pray the Rosary. Yeah. Pray the Saint Michael prayer. Pray to your patron saints. Pray all the time, every day. If you got 5 minutes, you should be praying.
I agree.
And the devil can come at you in many different forms, and you just got to be alert to it.
Yeah, the demons are out there, man. Like I said, I had the blues. That's one of those demons. Then I realized I was coming on this show. We're going to talk about Mary. And real miracles that happened that are documented. You think that demon stuck around? he left skin marks and sand. Man, what are you talking?
That's right. Well, many people ask for these children to pray for them because they saw them as very holy. And, of course, demons go after very holy people because they're bigger prizes to win over. But the children prevailed, and one peasant woman and her son knelt before Francisco, asking Our Lady to cure her husband's illness and keep him home and from going to war. Francisco asked them to pray the rosary with him. Much later, the lady happily returned to report that Our Lady had granted both of her requests. Jacinta also had several miracles attributed to her. One day, a woman with a foul before Jacinta. Jacinta knelt beside her, said three Hail Marys, and assured her with an unusual certainty that she would be healed. And the woman was indeed cured. On another occasion, Aunt Vittoria's son had left their Fatima home and had not been heard from in some time. The woman sought Lucia out, but found Jacinta instead. Jacinta pleaded very much to Our Lady to help him find his way back home. The man had been jailed in Torres Novas until he managed to escape, fleeing to the hills where he had become lost. Fearful, he fell to his knees and prayed. A few minutes later, the image of Jacinta appeared to him, took him by the hand and led him to the main road and gave him directions. Then she vanished before his eyes. By morning, he had found his way home thanks to her good directions. But Jacinta had never been to that area, nor had she actually been with this man in person, according to her. So here we have a case of bilocation, where Jacinta's image helped the man find his way, but Jacinta had never left home. That's right.
But that reminds me of Rose of Rome, who angels would guide her way with a lantern. Can you imagine that, to help her find her way? Angels would guide her way with a lantern. And that kind of reminds me of that story right there.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
On another occasion, a soldier about to leave for the war had a sick wife at home and three small children. He wept like a child, begging Jacinta for either a cure for his sick wife or a change in his military orders. She told him to pray the rosary with her and then assured him that Our Lady would grant his request. Several months later, he brought his wife and children back with him, happily reporting that his orders were changed at the last moment and his wife had also been healed as promised. As Francisco became gravely ill and unable to move from his bed, Our Lady appeared to both Francisco and Jacinta again. See, people don't know that. But Our Lady appeared to both Francisco and Jacinta again. She stated that she would be coming for Francisco very soon, and Jacinta would follow not long after. Jacinta eagerly confided in her cousin, quote, "Our Lady asked me if I still wanted to convert more sinners. I said yes. She wants me to go to two hospitals, but it is not to cure me. It's to suffer more for the love of God, the conversion of sinners, and in reparation for the offenses committed against the Immaculate Heart of Mary. My mother will take me there, and afterwards I am to be left there alone and will die alone," unquote. So Mary had given her a prediction of how her life was going to end. And we'll come back to that in a second. A woman visited Francisco's sick room one day to ask him to pray that her husband and her son might be reconciled. Her husband had banished the son from their home, greatly upsetting the mother. Francisco reassured her, telling her not to worry, because he would be going to heaven soon and would ask Our Lady for that grace when he arrived. Sure enough, it was later learned that the father and son were reconciled on the very day that Francisco went to heaven. Aren't these stories awesome? I mean, nobody knows about these little stories, but they're just amazing, all this stuff that went on after October 13th. Well, after much suffering and no complaining, Francisco died quietly before age 11 from pneumonia on April 4th, 1919. His skeletal remains were transferred from the Fatima Cemetery to the Great Fatima Basilica on March 13th, 1952. He was not incorrupt. Jacinta spent 2 months in St. Augustine's Hospital and then returned home from September through December 1919. She had many visits from Lucia during that last period of time at home. By mid-January, she was sent to a second hospital, this time in Lisbon, as predicted by Mary, where she suffered through February with a foul-smelling rotting of her own body from purulent pleurisy and two infected ribs. She sent word to Lucia.
That was influenza.
Yeah,
that really had an impact on World War I, too. That was a terrible influenza that they both caught.
Do we know how she injured the ribs?
Infected ribs. And purulent pleurisy. She sent word to Lucia that Our Lady had appeared again to her, telling her of the exact day and hour that she would be taken to heaven. She also foretold some other matters. One doctor asked for her prayers, and she prayed for him, but told him that he would die soon. And he did, her doctor. She told another one of her doctors that he and his daughter would die soon, and they did, shortly after her own death. She also confided to Mother Godinho, that a well-liked young dynamic priest, quote, will turn out badly, unquote. And later, that priest indeed abandoned the priesthood and took up living in open scandal. So these kids had amazing stuff happening. Father DeMarchi lists a number of teachings from Blessed Mary that Jacinta shared with Mother Godinho during her stay. And here are some quotes, things that Mary taught Jacinta. Quote, the sins which cause most souls to go to hell are the sins of the flesh. The world is perishing because the people do not meditate. Many marriages are not of God and do not please our Lord. Wars are punishment for sin. Priests must be very, very pure. Confession is a sacrament of mercy, and we must confess with joy and trust. There can be no salvation without confession. The Mother of God wants more virgin souls bound by a vow of chastity. You have any comment on those, Donald? I thought you might find those interesting.
Well, I was attacked by a priest. I was attacked by a priest. You know that what Biden did, Biden sent people to vouchers to pose as Catholics to go into Catholic parishes to cause problems. And so one of those so-called Catholics under Biden, one of the FBI, I don't know if you've heard about this. Well, I was being accused of being a child stalker and a pedophile. Now, you know, that just enraged me. Oh, it enraged me. And so now it's, I've been going through a battle with that because I'm innocent. I'm innocent of anything. And I'm all trained up. I'm trained up in Texas and Louisiana and Tennessee and Georgia and Missouri and Kansas and Arkansas. I mean, I am trained up. And to deal with children, and for someone to make that false accusation against my good name, I told Father that whoever made that kind of accusation, he needs to have his ass kicked. That upset me to have that kind
Good example of demons attacking the holy ones and using a priest to. To hit you.
Well, the priest actually assaulted me. He actually assaulted me.
You're supposed to be able to face your accuser. And if they ain't got the accuser, then the accusation is baseless. And
right.
That's how I see it.
Well, the diocese, because Father made Father made multiple threats against me. And so that's why if you've read any of those that I put out there of what happened has happened, and I've even done some shows on this to defend myself. And the diocese, the investigator of the diocese, for the diocese, is investigating this whole matter. And so I'll be definitely 100% vindicated because I told Father, like I told Father, I would give my would lay my life down on the line in defense of any child. And, Gigi and I, when we worked in the emergency room, you remember that, don't you, Doc?
Oh yeah.
And when we would see children come into the emergency room, and sometimes maybe hurt because some boyfriend didn't want to hear the baby cry, so they threw him up against the wall. that's hard to deal with.
Yeah. Well, going on with our story, Jacinta finally died at 10:30 p.m. alone in her hospital bed, as Mary predicted, on February 20th, 1920. A nun swore that tears of dried blood were on her face, suggesting that she shared something of her Savior's agony. Doctors were amazed that after 3 days, her body didn't stink like it had, but now smelled as sweet as a bouquet of roses. This was a surprising and drastic change in fragrance from the horrible, repulsive stench of her illness. She still looked alive in her coffin with cheeks and lips of a beautiful pink color. A number of witnesses testified to the extraordinary sweet odor emanating from her body. It was clearly the fragrance of roses. On September 12, 1935, her body was transferred to a memorial where people could honor her life. When the coffin was opened for positive identification, as they do, her parents, medics, clerics, and a few others were stunned that her body had not yet decayed in 15 years. During her transfer to the final resting place in the Great Basilica in 1951, her coffin was opened again, and her body was still incorrupt with very little decay after 31 years. So if people didn't know that, that's real important that her body was incorrupt. After these two young visionaries died, a small chapel was built at the site of the apparitions in the Cova d'Iria. Now, you see, Mary asked for a chapel to be built. It gets lost in this whole story, but that's a very common element of her visits, is to ask for a church or a chapel to be built. And it was. And it's there today. But on March 6, 1922. Oh, yeah. It's big now.
Did she ask for it, or did the people just do it?
Oh, no, she asked for it. That was one of the messages from the other week where she asked for a chapel to be built. Yep. But like I said, it gets lost in the whole story because it was just one line in one message, but I caught it. All right, so on March 6, 1922, two bombs were placed at the site, one in the chapel and one at the home oak tree where Mary had stood. The bomb in the chapel blew the roof off, but the one by the tree where Mary had appeared failed to explode, which is not unusual when you try to blow up supernatural things. It just doesn't work, as Donald knows. This attack enraged people, leading to a rebuilding of the chapel and a grand procession of 60,000 followers on May 13th, 1923, to return the preserved statue of Our Lady to its home in that chapel. Donald, do you know about bombs that don't blow up, don't you?
Over Medjugorje, yes. The Russian bombs were made that by design just necessarily explode on impact, but their intent would be, like, say, if they're going into a house, they want to go through go all the way to the basement, blow the building up from the bottom. And so for them to blow up in the air like that's just crazy.
It's almost like they hit something supernatural and causes them to blow first.
Yeah. It's like a force field.
Yeah,
kind of
exactly.
Like that, the war of the worlds, you know, that kind of like that, kind of in a way.
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah. Well, Lucia became a nun and joined a Dorothean convent in Tuy, Spain. On December 10th, 1925, Blessed Mary appeared to Lucia in her room at the convent. Many people don't realize that. The child Jesus was at Mary's side, elevated upon a luminous cloud of light. Our Lady placed one hand on Lucia's shoulder while in the other hand she held a heart surrounded by sharp thorns. The child Jesus spoke first, quote, "Have pity on the heart of your most holy mother. It is covered with thorns with which ungrateful men pierce it at every moment, and there is no one to remove them with an act of reparation," unquote. How many knew that little Jesus told that to Lucia, huh? And then Mary added, quote, "My daughter, look at my heart encircled with the thorns with which ungrateful men pierce it at every moment by their blasphemies and ingratitude. Do you at least try to console me and announce in my name that I promise to assist at the hour of death with the graces necessary for salvation for all those who on the first Saturday of five consecutive months go to confession and receive Holy Communion, recite the rosary, and keep me company for a quarter of an hour, 15 minutes, while meditating on the mysteries of the rosary with the intention of making reparation to me?" Well, Lucia could never forget this vision of Mary's bleeding heart. She could not get her confessor or superior to spread this devotion. 2 months passed, and finally on February 15th, 1926, the child Jesus appeared again to Lucia, inquiring if she had spread this devotion. Lucia explained the complications that her superior had had in trying to promote this by herself. The child Jesus replied, quote, "It is true that your superior alone can do nothing, but with my grace, she can do all." All right. We are getting close to the end of our time, but I'll go on just a little bit more. We will have a part four next week. There's no doubt about it. We got more to cover. I will add, while praying in the convent there in 1927, 10 years after the Fatima visits, Lucia received permission from heaven to reveal the first two parts of the secret, the vision of hell and the urgent need for devotion to the Immaculate Heart of Mary. Mary then explained further to Lucia, "You have seen hell, where the souls of sinners go. To save them, God wants to establish throughout the world the devotion to my Immaculate Heart. I shall come later to ask for the consecration of Russia to my Immaculate Heart." All right, I'm going to stop there, and next week we will pick it up at that point. So we're leaving off at 1927, but we're going to come all the way up to the present day next week. And a lot of things happened, and heaven has definitely been following through on Fatima's secrets and promises and everything since 1927, where we're leaving off tonight. Wow. Thoughts about all that?
I got a prayer request before we get off. My wife's cousin, Mikey, has been diagnosed with tuberculosis. We don't know how he got it. There are a lot of people that are in the country now that have it. Can we all say a little Hail Mary for him? He's been to Fatima. He's been to the Holy Land. He went with my wife to the Holy Land. He's a really good guy. He's kind of drifted away from the church. I'm hoping we bring him back. But anyway, he does have this going on. So can we do a Hail Mary for him?
How's your brother doing?
Yeah, go ahead.
How's your brother doing?
My brother's actually doing better. He went to work. He's working at the feed mill again. He's working the pellet mill, so they got his pain under control. He's getting out and getting a little more sun. That was another thing. He needed more sunlight on him. So it sounds like he's doing better. We just keep praying for him. I'm almost done with my rosary novena, and I'm just going to do another one, I guess. Keep going till he's either cured or gone.
Yeah. Plus, we had all the worldwide prayers for him on this show.
What's that?
Yeah. I said we had all the worldwide prayers for him on this show, too, one or 2 weeks in a row. So that certainly may have made a difference, too.
I'm sure it did, because he does seem to be, he's a spry guy. So.
Yeah.
But yeah,
well, we'll include
if we could include Mikey in our worldwide Hail Mary, I'd appreciate
it. We will indeed focus on that as we ask everyone now out there around the world to say Hail Mary with me. When we do, all our voices will rise in unison around the world all at once and rise up to heaven, keeping in mind the prayer intentions that Doc just offered. So join with me now. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. And thank everyone out there.
Pater Noster, qui es in celis, sanctificetur nomen tuum, adveniat regnum tuum, fiat voluntas tua, sicut in cielo et in terra, panem nostrum quotidianum da nobis hodie, et dimitte nobis debite nostra, sicut et nos dimittimus debitoribus nostris, et ne nos inducas in tentationem, sed libera nos da malo, amen. Ave Maria, gratia plena, Dominus tecum, benedicta tu mulieribus, et benedictus fructus ventris tui, Iesus. Sancta Maria, Mater Dei, ora pro nobis peccatoribus, nunc et in hora mortis nostre. Amen. Gloria Patri Filio, Spiritui Sancto, sicut in erat et in principio et nunc et semper saecula saeculorum. Amen. Nomine Patri Filii Spiritui Sancti. Amen.
Amen.
All right. That was Kathy from Bourbon, Missouri on tape, and we appreciate her Latin that she did for us as we wrapped up that beautiful prayer with intentions for Doc's relatives, and we wish them the best. Your prayers out there are full of spiritual energy that do more than you can possibly imagine. This is why Mary often said, pray, 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 never stop prayers, because you must pray without ceasing, because the power of your prayers can do so much. Boy, she said that over and over so many places. And we've seen the power of prayer. We have seen it. We know it makes a difference. All right. Well, next week we'll continue our part four of Fatima, and we'll go into more of the things that happened, more visits by Mary to Lucia in the convent, more messages, more events, and more world happenings as a result of these Fatima events. And it really stretches right up to the present day. So we'll cover all that next week, and you'll see why Fatima has been perhaps the best known apparition, although really not that different from many others. And just to let you know, I've documented at least 20 other countries since then that have had the miracle of the sun. At least 20 other countries that have had the miracle of the sun. So it was not just a one-time event. It was the first time it happened, but it happened many times, many places since then, including in Medjugorje, where Donald has been.
Yeah.
So, anyway,
and remember,
I'll turn
last
it back
time,
to you,
last
Donald.
Time, well, last time when we spoke about this, remember the emissaries that were sent from Babylon to Israel to inquire about the happening that was witnessed as far back, far away as Babylon, about the sun going back, you know, for King Hezekiah, you know, as a sign for
that he would not die.
He would have 15 more years of his leadership. So,
That's right.
Excuse me.
All right. Well, with that, we will sign off and thank you all for being here. And tune in next week. There's more to this story. And it's amazing. Even what we covered tonight is just basically unknown to most people. And yet there's so many neat details that followed October 13th. All right. So we will see you next week.
When I find myself in times of trouble, Mother Mary comes to me, speaking words of wisdom, let it be.
Thank you for joining us for this special edition of the Catholic Defender Radio Show, an in-depth examination of the truths of our faith and why we believe them. Tonight, Don Hartley's guest host has been John Carpenter, an expert on more than 90 confirmed apparitions of our Blessed Mother. Be sure to join us again as we examine another Marian apparition in depth, right here on the Catholic Defender Radio Network.